Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for June 18th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely, the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? Now, as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Quick recap of yesterday's, Friday's show. Happy Father's Day to all of you, ladies and gentlemen. It is an absolute delightful Father's Day weekend. We talked about Father's Day second hour. I'll get into that in just a second. But we, at first hour, had an interesting a couple of guests. A guy by the name of Bruce Bodlock and another guy by the name of Greg Hanna. They're both IT professionals, and they created a new software, I should say an app for your phone, tied to new software. And it's called TipNow.com. And TipNow is an anonymous reporting service that provides communities with a way to communicate concerns about individuals with the potential to commit violent acts in schools, government facilities, and the general public at large. They call it an anonymous tip system. See report prevent tipnow.com. Now, I literally, when they emailed me this and said, Sam, you got to get on this thing. This thing's great. It'll save lives. I said I couldn't support it because I don't believe in the see something, say something idea of government. I don't believe in putting technology in the hands of government. This puts it in schools, governments, municipalities, cities, counties, whatever, states. And the idea is that if you see something, say something, report it. You can turn on video. It's like 9/11 private sector on turbo. Let me say that again. It's like 9/11 private sector on turbo. And I'm completely against it for that reason. And I highlighted that to these gentlemen. They didn't melt down. They didn't freak out. We had a great, in my opinion, discussion. And they responded and said, Sam, we totally agree with you. We understand that side. However, look, this technology is going to be advancing. There's no way to prevent the continued surveillance in our society, the continued ratcheting up of the violation of our privacy. So we can either let the government do 9/11 and move that into the modern century and have government 100% in control of it, or we can have private sector organizations ran by Christians who might respect your rights more. So sadly, it isn't a matter of will this technology come to the table. The only question is who will be in control of it. And you know what? I think they've got a valid point. Now, that doesn't mean that I really back the system. Sometimes I don't know what the answers are when we continue to violate God-given rights and privacy. Nevertheless, they're right about that. You know what? We live in the real. We teach to the ideal, but we live in the real. That's an important point to make as well. The ideal says, hey, we shouldn't even have all this spy technology going on. Boy, howdy, do I concur. But you know what? That's the ideal. We shouldn't have it, and we should be respecting rights. But the ideal is sometimes elusive. The real is that they're continuing to march surveillance technologies against us, high tech, everywhere. Might the Christians stand in the gap and make a difference and preserve rights and create a balance? That's a serious possibility. And one of the things we claim in the new media and the social media, and I've claimed this for years, look, when will the right people get involved? The reason when Facebook and Twitter and, Instagram and whatever, TikTok, all these things shut you down. Why do we complain? Why haven't we created our own systems? Well, there's a lot of people doing that just now, and you got to give them credit. Donald Trump with Truth Social, Lindell and Lindell TV and the efforts there. Great work by these people, right? Well, anyway, again, I still think that the small guy should create his own. People are doing that too, and I commend them. But their point is, hey, you know what? Why don't we get involved in this in a meaningful way? And so I have to agree, I'd rather have Christians running a service like this that people can choose to be involved in voluntarily even though it is tied into government in many ways. I'd rather have that, though, than just government controlled and or the liberals building the system. So very interesting discussion and debate. It was respectful. It was informative. Anyway, listen to it if you want to learn more about that technology. We also talked about their starting schools called Studia Nova Schools. They also call them New A's Schools, and they're doing this in Northern California. And it's nice to see, again, Christians in the private sector getting involved in education. This, again, is something that I believe that a lot of the problems in our society is we've just simply vacated unsavory places as Christians. And now it's time to get involved in the culture war in a very meaningful way. Well, that first hour dovetailed nicely with the second hour with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com. And we talked about Liberty Roundtable Live. We'd like to wish all of you a happy Father's Day 2022. And then we doubled down and talked in detail about fathers. Dads, how important are they? New research highlights the value of fathers. And I've highlighted that it's great new research highlights this, but every single study that really is honest and open doubles down in defense of fathers and mothers in the home and the value thereof and how valuable the traditional family is and how the parents knowing where their children are and what they're doing is the great anti-drug, is the great safety net for children and so on and so on. Even the liberals have created commercials to this reality. Anyway, we talked about the fact that sex reassignment drugs increase suicide risk. New studies confirm, you know, this culture war, teaching children that God's in charge and that he created male and female, absolutely flies in the face of this idea of this gender reassignment and gender surgery and gender, whatever you want to say, manipulation via drugs that then increase suicidal tendencies and everything else, right? The Daily Wire, for example, featured a post highlighting this love wins. All right, so they had an article called Love Wins. Now, Daily Wire, in my opinion, doing a good job highlighting this. But this Love Wins article then talked about a Cosmo article that pushes incest. I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up. This is what it's like to fall in love with your brother. I'm just telling you. So the Daily Wire highlighting how evil this is in the culture war. Good for the Daily Wire. But Cosmos and some of these other groups, I mean, they're pushing this next narrative to the transgender, which is incest. You know what? Your mom fell in love with her son, or dad fell in love with his daughter, or brother and sister fell in love with each other. And they're trying to literally attack the morals of our society in every way possible. And if you're not careful, what they'll do is they'll just point to your Bible and say, well, see, Adam and Eve had children, and those children were involved with each other there. And so that's what they'll do. They'll just turn it all against us and try to jettison everything of morality. You're not going to solve this by just logical debates, folks. Understanding God's laws oftentimes takes faith. What will we do, though, is the serious question, ladies and gentlemen. What will we do when those who practice incest start self-identifying as such and demanding their so-called rights? Yeah, rights means the right to get married, complete tolerance and acceptance by society for their relationships. That's right. They want their incestual relationships to be viewed as completely normal. We talked about Gavin Newsom's ex-wife, Kimberly Guilfoyle, and she was paid $60,000 to introduce Donald Trump Jr. on January the 6th. She literally got up there for 2.5 to 3 minutes, introduced Don Jr. with regards to this election fraud thing. Well, it turns out that families and individuals were paying pennies in to try to help fight the election fraud scam and to try to get the word out on election fraud and try to move the needle for Congress to look at it, etc. In other words, stop the steal. And then we find out Kimberly Guilfoyle, Gavin Newsom's ex-wife, first kind of the concubine, the girlfriend of Donald Trump Jr. Then Donald divorces his wife and hangs out with Kimberly, the girlfriend, and now Kimberly's the fiance. And they worked it out to where she got up there for 2.5 to 3 minutes and got $60,000 for the introduction. Well, this again, ladies and gentlemen, is why we've been telling you since Trump came down the escalator. He's not our guy. Now, I know he's done a lot of good, and I'll give credit where credit's due. He's done a lot of good. But when you see this kind of stuff where families are putting hard-earned dollars into funding and so Donald Trump, thinking Donald Trump's going to get to the bottom of the election fraud kind of thing, and then we find out that that's how he uses the money, $60,000 for a liberal, I don't know what you call this girl, I don't want to be too mean, but then she's the rock star of the conservatives now, to have the truth come out, and you're going to give her that kind of money? Wow. If you gave me that kind of money, ladies and gentlemen, I could run Liberty News Radio for several months on $60,000, right? You look at the Constitutional Sheriff's Group, and we could run one of our events for $60,000, one of our incredible training events. But she got paid $60,000, and then what is she, the fiance of Donald Trump Jr.? So the second she gets married, unless they have a serious prenup, she'll have plenty of money, right? Very interesting indeed. Sad, if you want my opinion. Because it's just starting to be, you know what, anybody on the general level, anybody who's made it large in politics, you can't trust a single one of them. Right? It's a sad tale to tell. All right, when we come back, straight to Chris Carlson. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman. And you know what, a week from yesterday, by the way, so Friday the 24th, I'll be in Far West Utah at Liberty Hall with Tom Jones, the incredible runner, running 76 marathons in 76 days. He'll be on the radio next hour with us as well. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Calling all patriots, come meet a modern-day hero, Tom Jones, on day 68 of his 76 marathons in 76 days on behalf of the American Village West. We'll be at the Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah on Friday evening, June 24th at 5 p.m. There will be free food and drinks. Who is Tom Jones? Loving Liberty's Sam Bushman interviewed him on day one in Alabama just moments before he began his first marathon. Get to know Tom at UnitedWePledge.org.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. And Chris Carlson, well-known hard-hitting American, joins me now. Welcome, sir.
Yes, sir. Without God, we cannot win. Sam, with God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Wind and solar energy is our energy future and always will be. Not welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start there, Chris.
Do you understand the wordplay, Sam? I just want to know, make sure, because it will always be in our future, but never in our present.
Correct. Yeah, it's our future, buddy. It's like tomorrow never comes. Yeah. You know what I mean? There.
Bingo, you got it. Yeah. Now, so, and Joel Skousen breaks it down pretty well. Again.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief. This is not yesterday's World Affairs Brief. It comes out every Friday, as you probably know, as your listeners hopefully know by now. But this is the previous week's World Affairs Brief, June 10th, 2022. And he calls it Biden's War on Cheap Energy. And it turns out that the Biden administration is trying to promote everything but economically viable sources of energy in our country, because he does not want to increase the production of fossil fuels and natural gas and things that have proven in a free economy to be viable and sustainable sources of fuel, like gasoline and natural gas and kerosene, which is jet fuel, et cetera, et cetera. So he's promoting, and I'll read from Zero Hedge, which he quotes from. He says, on Monday, Biden invoked the Defense Production Act. And let's stop just for a second. What is the Defense Production Act? Are you familiar with that, Sam? Should I give you just a brief description of what that
is? Yes, please. I'm familiar with it, but an explanation is always helpful, right?
Yeah, so it's an unconstitutional provision that gives the executive department of our government power to make executive decisions in behalf of the people to guarantee that we are defended against enemies, foreign and domestic. And apparently, of course, this is completely and totally unconstitutional. Nothing in the Constitution that provides for the federal government at any level to be involved with energy. But nonetheless, so just like everything else that they've superimposed themselves into, they have subsumed that authority unconstitutionally and immorally. So anyway, they think that they can take it upon themselves to dictate the terms under which we may use energy in this country. So anyway, they're promoting, according to the Zero Hedge article, Sam, they're promoting everything but sustainable sources of energy. They're promoting solar. They're promoting hydrogen fuel cells. And a whole host of other things that I'm not even familiar with. Insulation, we understand that. Heat pumps, they talk about. Platinum group metals, and I'm not even – Joel Skousen doesn't even get into those, so we'll just kind of gloss over that. But basically, all of these sources of energy have a lot of inherent problems, and Joel Skousen breaks down some of those issues. For example, fuel cell technology, and I don't know if you've gone into that in the past. Hydrogen fuel cell technology has a whole host of issues that renders it unsustainable as a viable alternative to petroleum-based fuel sources. It's very corrosive. It has very small molecules, which causes leakage issues in pipelines. It is highly reactive and highly explosive, which obviously causes safety issues. Its byproducts combined with nitrogen oxide in the atmosphere to create acid rain. A whole host of other problems. I don't know if you want to go through all of them, but basically they're promoting these alternative fuel sources and paying for them with, of course, our tax dollars, Sam. And they're just trying to shove them down our throats. And, of course, Joel Skousen.
I want to talk about all these different options for new energy. New energy is this idea that we can somehow be dependent on the Earth's resources, and that everything we do must be clean. Now, the first thing that you got to understand is that's a lie from the very, very start. This idea that you can have clean energy. Let me take the wind to make the point. Number one, the wind's very, very, very finicky and unreliable. So you can't depend on it for a solid source of consistent energy. So write down the word consistency, ladies and gentlemen. Wind lacks consistency. The second problem with wind is these turbines that they create are very, very expensive to build and to maintain. Remember, they spin. There's moving parts. Whenever something has moving parts, failure is possible, right? So not only do you have the wind being very finicky, but now you have these turbines that, one, they cost a lot of money to create, set up. You know, they're huge wind turbines out in the middle of the ocean or whatever they are, you know, way out there or whatever, or up on big hills or these huge wind farms. but they're also horrible to the environment in the sense that they, you know, cause harm to birds and other animals and such like that. And so you put this all together and you say it's a very inexpensive, or I'm sorry, very expensive, inefficient, let me say that again, a very expensive, inefficient, unreliable solution. But yet they push it as if it's the panacea, but the efficiency quotient is problematic to say the least. Let's just start there and then walk each one through the reliability reality, the efficiency reality, and the cost reality, and then the consistency reality. And when you put all that together, Chris, you say wind, solar, hydro, you know, all these trouble, right? For example, hey, waterways are a great way. The problem is it's limited in scope of when you can get enough water to move the needle consistently as well. There's very limited places that can happen. So you put all this together, and these new energy ideas sound great, but walk us through each one about their efficiencies and such, will you?
Yeah, so he talks about energy density, and he talks about the hydrogen cell technology. And to give you a comparison between that and, for example, jet fuel or diesel, the energy density, so per liter, how much of a punch that it packs per liter is markedly different. So gaseous hydrogen or liquid hydrogen is between 10,000 megajoules per liter to 13,000 megajoules per liter. Now compare that to 36,500 megajoules per liter with jet fuel or diesel. And he doesn't have a breakdown for gasoline that we use in our cars, but that's a threefold increase in comparison with gaseous or liquid hydrogen. So these fuel cell technology solutions are weak, one-third alternatives to what we already have. So like I say, they will always be in the future unless we can manage to extract more punch per liter out of these. We'll never get them out off the ground as a viable alternative to what we already have. And what we already have, Sam, you talked about this, is actually a miracle fuel. If you think about gasoline that we create from crude oil from the ground, it is actually one of the cleanest technology. In fact, it is environmentally super friendly because the byproducts that it creates. And we have the technology today to where the byproducts of gasoline consumption in our cars actually creates an environmental bounty for the rest of the environment, which is the world of plants. They use carbon dioxide, and the byproducts of petroleum-based fuels are basically water and carbon dioxide, both of which are a boon to the economy. And to the environment, I should say. And, you know, of course, we've labeled carbon dioxide as the number one enemy to the existence of man, that and white supremacists, of course. And the fuels that we have today are actually ideal for our needs. You know, and you couple that with the notion, and we've talked about this in the past, that they are actually renewable. You know, we talked about the abiotic theory of oil, and that certain oil wells have been used for decades, and they have not been depleted over that period of time, which lends itself to this notion, and I believe it's a fact, that carbon-based fuels are actually renewable. And to back that up, we've often quoted this scripture about the abundance of resources that God has given us from the earth, where the earth is full and there is enough and to spare. Yea, I prepare all things and have given unto the children of men to be agents unto themselves.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson on your radio. We're talking about energy. The United States is not infrastructure self-reliant. What makes us most vulnerable to an EMP attack is that all our long-distance transformers and everything else are sourced in China and would have no ability to recover. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable, live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News. A man with an edge weapon attacked passengers inside a San Francisco International Airport terminal, leaving three with cuts and scrapes. The travelers were in the pre-check area when they were attacked. Police officers arrived and arrested a man whose name wasn't immediately released. It is not clear what the motive for the attack was. CBS has confirmed seven people said to be affiliated with Late Show with Stephen Colbert were reportedly arrested for illegally entering the Longworth House office building on Capitol grounds. The group was charged with unlawful entry, but the police said the ongoing investigation could bring more charges against the group. This is USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
The cryptocurrency markets are already in a meltdown. Now, New York is on the verge of becoming the first state in the nation to partially ban some energy incentive Bitcoin mining operations. Five former Bowling Green State University fraternity members convicted in the hazing death of a 20-year-old were sentenced in Ohio, with three receiving jail time. The sophomore who was rushing Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity was found unconscious after drinking an entire bottle of alcohol during an initiation event. He died 3 days after being put on life support.
To me, you killed him. You left him there to die.
The victim's parents asked the judge to sentence the men to the maximum allowed under Ohio law. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson on your radio. We're breaking down an incredible column on Joel Skousen's World Affairs Brief. He sends it out every Friday, worldaffairsbrief.com. Wind and solar energy is our future and always will be. The play on words, it's always in the future. It's never here now. That's why I say not. But Biden's war on cheap energy. Let me say that again. Biden's war on cheap energy is the name or the title of the column on worldaffairsbrief.com that highlights this reality. And look, Biden invoked the Defense Production Act, ladies and gentlemen. That targets the country's solar production capacity and fuel cell production capacity, among other forms of, quote, green energy. So it sounds great, right? The problem is the United States, ladies and gentlemen, is in serious trouble. Why? Because we're not infrastructure self-reliant at all. What makes us most vulnerable to a nuclear EMP strike is that all our long-distance transformer capabilities are manufactured in China and would have no ability to recover because we don't stockpile in any quantity in the U.S. That's a serious issue, folks. Okay, electric is not the answer. Hydrogen is not the answer. Why are refineries in America shutting down when we don't have a replacement for them? Who was it? Your uncle or somebody gave you kind of an advice on a job there, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's just simple advice. Don't quit your current job until you've secured another job. Then you might be unemployed for 2 or 3 weeks looking for another job. You know, don't shut down our current viable sources of energy that we're using today until we found a viable alternative. And I'm not saying that solar, eventually, if we develop the technology necessary for it, can become a viable source of energy, or wind, or fuel cell technology. I'm not saying it can't. Well, okay.
Because unless you can couple it with reliable, consistent delivery, it's not going to work. The sun's not there for how many hours a night, or when it's cloudy. The wind's not there when the wind ain't blowing, people. So where's that reliability and consistency going to come from? Now, if you say we can make some progress in coupling that with inverters and batteries, and okay, but now you're getting a very complicated, expensive system when you add all those things to the mix, okay? So look, I believe the battle that they had back in the 1800s when electricity kind of first came on the scene is the real battle we're having now. Are you familiar with basically the AC-DC battle, Chris?
Yeah, I've heard people talk about it, yes.
So the battle has to do with, hey, one can be produced on the spot, very low energy. What's that, DC? Yeah, there. But it can't go very far. Sure. It can't traverse the distance. And then you got AC, which can traverse the distance if you set up the right, you know, scenario. And when the battle happened, we should have went with DC, but we went with AC. And what we did is we basically created electricity. We created it very inexpensively, supplemented by your government, like all these energy things have done. And then we've basically transmitted it long distances to deliver. Thus, we've created this energy grid. And in my opinion, if we ever want energy independence, the first thing we need to do is go the DC discussion route, which says we're not going to peddle it long distances. We're not going to have a central control that government provides. That's the first thing we've got to solve. Then the second thing we've got to solve is, well, how can we then, if we don't peddle our energy long distance, how do we then produce it locally? How do we do it in a way that is usable anywhere? And that becomes the big battle. And now even coal-fired power plants will not work. Gas won't work. Anything that you have to get, quote, portably to the location, because you've either got to distribute the electricity or the fuel to fund it, or the fuel to create it, right? Whatever. That's the battle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. That's why this can't be solved in the current scenario. Now, Joel Skousen goes into, hey, that Joe Biden isn't doing anything really for this. In fact, they're taking power plants offline. They're quitting their jobs before they have another one, so to speak. So we're going to have turmoil in this regard. And he highlights this very well. But the question comes up then, why is Joe Biden doing this? Maybe he's not listening to his own energy department. Maybe he doesn't understand. No, he understands perfectly. Their goal is to create a crisis. When you understand that's their goal, every building block of reality comes into place, Chris.
Oh, there's no question in my mind that they're trying to create a crisis. They don't want, they are anti-energy. I mean, these false alternatives are designed to do exactly what you just described. And, you know, I'm not ignorant of that fact. But they want to create the plausibility so that they have plausible deniability when this whole thing comes crashing down, which it will if they continue on the same course that they do. I understand that. And I talk about, you know, how this is basically an attack on our Christian society. And I'll tell you what I think about it, because prosperity allows us to advance the cause of Christianity, and because Christianity is the main threat to Satan's agenda of socialistic slavery, any advancements in technology are a threat to his kingdom. That means Satan's kingdom. If you consider how rapidly the message of Jesus Christ's atonement has traveled throughout the world, Sam, through transportation and broadcast technology, is it any wonder that he and his minions want to shut down these means of blessing to the world? And that's the crux of it, just like you hit right on it. They want an energy crisis. They don't want to solve anything. They wanted to jettison these fuel sources that we've been accustomed to and are energy dense, you know, over the last 100 and however many years the gas combustion engine has been around and jet engines have been around. And they know that. And that's why they're jettisoning them, so that we have this issue. Because there's so many, on so many levels, these fuels are sustainable, they are energy dense, they're proven, and they're economically feasible. So why would they get rid of them? The only reason they're trying to get rid of them, their main lie that they're using to jettison these is that carbon dioxide is now a poisonous gas in the environment, which is so easily provable that it's false. I mean, without carbon dioxide, we wouldn't have plant life on this earth. And it's not toxic to human beings. It creates a symbiotic relationship. And you know this, plants and trees and shrubs, et cetera, produce oxygen, which we need, which benefit human and animal kind. And then we turn around and produce carbon dioxide, you know, through our activities that benefit the plant world. And it's a mutually beneficial symbiotic relationship that is just perfect and in harmony with not only the principles that we enjoy here on Earth, but God's principles. I mean, this is a match made in heaven, if you want, Sam. So, yeah, that you're right. You went right to the crux of the problem, and I appreciate that. This is an attack on our Christian-based society.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Now, all I'm telling you is this is something that we really need to understand. We're quitting our job before we have another one. We're dismantling our energy sources before we have other solid solutions in place. It is absolutely psychotic and insane. They claim that the crisis of global change is the problem. But look, they had the global warming lie. They had to abandon it because there was no warming. Then they changed it to climate change. Well, there's no doubt the climate changes everywhere on the globe all the time, every day. Okay, so we know all that, ladies and gentlemen, but they're using this as a political wedge. Okay, we have renewable energy sources, folks. And they're even coming from the Department of Energy. That's why we say that Biden's ignoring his own energy department. But, folks, the only problem is that these options would facilitate liberty, freedom, prosperity. Society could prosper. We would have the growth and sustainability of civilization. We wouldn't have a crisis. But, see, that won't fill their need, folks. That won't solve the problem because you and I don't agree what the problem is. You and I think the problem is how do we get energy? Their problem is how do they maintain control over society? How do they manipulate society into their agenda? All right? Look, drilling on these lands to create energy has been halted by Biden's illegal executive order. Biden unilaterally literally just shut everything down. At first glance, you might think the White House has a point, Chris.
Yeah, if you don't dig a little deeper into the issues like we do, and Joel Scales, and of course, people are being fooled. There are people that I meet on a daily basis, Sam, who believe that we have an energy crisis. They don't understand that they're being manipulated by the media, and I know because I've read the articles that say that we have enough coal. We have enough crude oil in the ground to sustain us for the next 400 years. And
well, we know that because back in the 70s, they claimed that we didn't have energy. You had to get gas on odd or even days. They said there wasn't enough oil to produce enough gas. Therefore, you got to have gas on odd or even days. Literally, after the energy department was created, again, the Hegelian dialectic in effect, you always have to have government solve your problems. So they cranked up the energy department. But literally 50 years later, they're not saying we don't have enough gas now. How did that happen? 50 years ago, it was a crisis. We don't have enough gas. Now, 50 years later, with incredible consumption, now they say that's not the issue. They're not saying we don't have enough oil for the gas. In fact, oil is created from the mantle of the earth, and the earth creates oil by itself. It's not fossil fuel. That's a lie, too. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live with Chris Carlson on your radio.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, a shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Chris Carlson with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about energy. And really, the bottom line is this energy crisis is an intentionally created crisis by our government with a goal of creating control over each of us, changing our lives forever. Climate change is the touchstone of hysteria, ladies and gentlemen. The bottom line is they don't want to get to the solutions at all. We've got them, and we'll talk about them in a second. But this highlights the problem big time, Chris.
Yeah. So according to Joel Skousen, the policies that they see are the Biden administration's purposeful desire to raise prices and destroy incentives to increase supply. And we're talking about, of course, fossil fuel-based solutions. They want the petrol-fueled auto industry to be replaced by electric cars. And he goes on to talk about how electricity is a debacle, too, because if you think about it, where do we get our electricity? A lot of people, they don't understand that electricity is not a source of energy. It's the result of, for the most part, coal-fired power plants or natural gas-fired power plants. So even if you have an electric car, Sam, think about the irony of this. You're actually contributing to the burning of fossil fuels and the increasing of the carbon footprint on the planet. But you think that electricity is the source of your energy, where in fact it's probably coal or natural gas or some other fossil fuel. So that's a lie as well.
Well, not to mention that just to create the solar panels and the batteries and all the different high-tech capabilities, it costs a lot of energy, a lot of fossil fuels to be able to make all that stuff. You're just transferring where the output of fossil fuels is seen. Instead of it seen from your tailpipe, it's seen in a factory in China so you don't see it. But it's a lie. Yeah. You can't rob Peter to pay Paul is the point, folks. And so there are responsibilities up and down the line. And it's a lie when they just transfer that spewing of what you want to call carbon or carbon dioxide or any of these fossil fuel derivatives or whatever you want to say. They're just lying about when the exhalation, if you will, or the expelling of these results are. That's all they're doing. In fact, this debate was in a hearing, Chris.
Yeah, there it was a hearing, and I think you've got the video. So this individual is our illustrious representative, Brian Mast. I forget what state he's from, but he's having a debate with the chief climate officer, Jake Levine, over pipelines during a subcommittee hearing in Congress. And then notice, as we listen to this video, Sam, notice how the U.S. Chief Climate Officer Jake Levine cannot answer the simple question about whether the Biden administration's energy policy favors gas and oil pipelines. And go ahead and roll the video.
This is what people hate about Washington, D.C. It's a simple question. You're asking for money from the U.S. taxpayer to do cross-state infrastructure overseas as related to energy. Are you for pipelines or not?
I think that the Development Finance Corporation is interested in advancing any project that can deliver energy security for
our
allies.
It does say diversity on here, energy diversity, and it does say renewable and non-renewable fuels. That's the EESDA. So are you for pipelines?
In the act, the project eligibility
allows us. So you won't say for pipelines. It's yes or no.
Allows us to work on projects that can deliver electricity generating capacity using fossil or clean energy.
So you're for fossil fuel use?
And we will advance.
You're for the DFC
The DFC will
advance. Creating a friendly regulatory environment.
Please, if I could interrupt, please allow me. Yes, I can.
No, you can't. It's not your
yes,
time.
Yes, I can,
no,
sir.
No, you can't.
Sir,
you guys messed
you'd like
all
an
up.
Argument. Allow
it's
him to answer
time.
The question
in
all
time.
Due respect.
There's no respect taken.
Evidently, there's no respect given.
That's because you guys are
chair,
messing up energy
chair
for
recognizes
our country.
The witness to
you
answer
guys are
a question that was posed to him.
Ridiculously expensive for Americans, and you don't want to be questioned
you,
about it.
Are you pleased you're getting this soundbite, sir? I'm not going to participate
this
in
problem.
It.
Don't participate then.
Let
close
the
your mouth and let me
witness.
Ask my questions. Don't participate. Let me
close my mouth, sir.
Yes, you heard directly. That's why you sound so offended, because you heard what I said. So let's do that and let me finish asking my questions.
Allow
Thank
them
you.
To answer the question.
If he wanted to answer the question, he could.
Bottom line there, ladies and gentlemen, he will not answer the question. It was a yes or a no. He refused to answer it. Look, they don't want to offend their climate change zealots out there. They are afraid, and they've got this agenda cooked up, and we, the American people, can't come to a solution-oriented discussion at all, okay? And that's really the problem. They're literally quitting the job before they get another job. Therefore, we'll have no revenue. Therefore, we'll have no energy is what we're saying. They're destroying the energy in America. And there are solutions, folks. What about nuclear power, Chris?
Oh, yeah. And this is a new one for me, Sam. Obviously, not for you. You're much more on top of modern-day developments in the energy field. So this is Joel Skousen. He says, noticeably absent in Biden's foreign concern or feigned concern over energy prices and supply is his failure to include the marvelous new and efficient micro-nuclear power plants being developed. They are much more safe than huge nuclear power plants and capable of creating microgrids for every major neighborhood. Biden obviously isn't listening to his own energy department, which puts out this report. And this is the Department of Energy, Sam, and I'm going to read word for word what our own Department of Energy, the report they put out. He says more than 20 U.S. companies, 20, are working on designs that are smaller, scalable, versatile, and even mobile, providing for far greater access to nuclear power than ever before. Domestic reactor developers are currently working on gas and heat pipe cooled designs, which is a huge design development, because previously you had to use water cooled. If you can use gas and heat pipe cooled designs, that will allow you a lot more efficiency and a lot less overhead in maintaining these facilities. And then they go on to say they could debut by the mid-2020, so as early as 2025. We could see these micro-nuclear power plants producing a cheap and massive amounts of electricity for American citizens.
Now, let me kind of lay this out for you to understand a little bit, too, ladies and gentlemen. You got to understand, these low-power nuclear plants aren't dangerous like the Chernobyl or the, you know, the history of yesteryear high-power nuclear stuff.
Island.
They're not dangerous like that, folks. In fact, at the University of Utah, I don't know if you know this, they have a tiny nuclear reactor that you can go watch it run. So it's that safe, it's that appropriate, and it's only getting safer and more miniaturized and smaller to where you can literally deploy these in literally every neighborhood in America fairly easily. Talk about the output of these and how many houses they'll run and such. It is sustainable energy that's absolutely consistent, absolutely inexpensive, gets rid of this big debate about that I said, the central control of energy, the long distance AC/DC debate that I highlighted versus locally produced. You could produce energy cheaply, inexpensively, safely, and get off the government control, because if these are generated in a given state, not across state lines, it has nothing to do with the federal government at all. Chris started out talking about the government shouldn't be involved in energy. This is a way to solve every single problem we face. Chris?
So to give you an idea of how localized we could make this solution, the Department of Energy goes on to report, Sam, a single unit typically generates 1 to 10 megawatts of electricity. To put this in perspective, a single megawatt of electricity can power approximately 1,000 homes. So do the math. That means that these systems could provide up to 10,000 homes with clean power, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 10 years without stopping. And that's some very efficient energy output, Sam. And they can be also, and like you said, they can be localized so that we can have control of our own neighborhood energy sources. They can be in neighborhoods. They can be in cities. They can be in counties and controlled by those local government entities, which is something that we've always promoted, which is local control of the sources of our blessings from government.
Yeah, but so you can't destroy America with a plan like that, buddy.
No, sir. No, sir. And they're going to come out with expert after expert explaining why, no, these are dangerous, or no, these are this, that, or the other. You can just imagine some of the creative ways they're going to try to shoot these ideas down. But
the world's full of dangers, ladies and gentlemen. People are dying when the power goes out in Texas or when the grid goes down and everything else. But if you put these locally and maintain them, they're inexpensive. I'm telling you, it is the only real answer that I can see going forward that has viability, that has portability, that has consistency, that has the ability to truly change the game and decrease the costs for the American people and handle the ever-increasing appetite for the need for electricity, whether it be cars or whatever else. Unless we go here, there is no real solution on the table that's viable, Chris.
No. And this is provided, I think this is provided by our Heavenly Father. And these are solutions. And now the test is in our court, Sam, to see whether or not we will elect representatives that represent our interests, that will promote these cheap, safe, effective technologies that could allow us a greater degree of Christian free will. Because you think about it, agency or the ability to act and make decisions is not only predicated on whether we're granted that, it's also predicated on the means by which we can exercise it. And cheap energy allows us to do a lot of things in our pursuit to build God's kingdom. And as I mentioned before, that is their main target, is a strong, independent Christian society. And Satan's agenda to create socialistic slave-based societies is threatened by that. So the last thing that Satan wants is for us to have clean, safe, and abundant energy to build God's kingdom, and that's a big threat. And we're gonna come up against a lot of opposition, but we have this technology. It's being developed by over 20 companies, and that's the Department of Energy making those statements, Sam. So I tend to believe that's true. I don't know why they are. Obviously, most times they're not on our side. But in this case, they're letting the rabbit out of the bag or the cat out of the bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, I find this fascinating. Fascinating that we're not even really discussing these options, even though the Energy Department says that's the solution. Even though in America, you literally have nuclear power plants that are so simple and so small and so safe that you can watch how they run and learn about them. The University of Utah in Utah even has one of these suckers. You go look at the news and you'll see that I know what I'm talking about. It's incredible. And so I'm not saying that there's not risk to solar. To nuclear. There is risk. But folks, there's risk when we move to this clean energy and we don't have the energy we need. There's risk. People are on all kinds of medical needs. Oxygen is one of them, especially in the era of COVID. CPAPs for people when they sleep. Hospitals and the energy required to have clean everything we do. Okay, this is serious, and there's a risk if we don't have the energy we need. There's a risk if we use the, coal-fired power plant. Everything is a risk. But if we turn to God Almighty, ladies and gentlemen, He can protect us and heal our land. That is the ultimate takeaway. Final word's yours, Chris.
Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
God bless you and your work, Chris. Spot-on information. Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. Check that out as well. For Chris and Sam and all of you, God save the Republic of the United States of America. We declare this nation shall endure. To learn more, to get involved, to help us with funding and every other way, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Join us next Friday evening at Liberty Hall with Tom Jones. We'll talk about that next hour. God save us.